We all need encouragement at some point in time, whether it's for personal motivation, comfort, or reflection. An encouraging word can offer hope, inspiration, or a new perspective. Each week, we will explore biblical passages that will encourage and remind us of God's love, faithfulness, greatness, and sovereignty in our lives. So, let's start the week off right. I'm your podcast host, Drea, and you're now listening to Divine Exhortations. Hey, friend, and happy Monday, October 11th. I hope everyone had a great past weekend. Today is Thanksgiving, and it is truly a time of reflection and just being, you know, very grateful for the little things and the big things. And so today, I just want to say to everyone who is listening, I hope that your holiday is filled with traditions that uplift you, prayers that inspire you, and family and friends who love and appreciate you, wishing you God's blessings on this Thanksgiving holiday. And as always, thank you for tuning in to Divine Exhortations with myself. As you are aware, this entire season is dedicated to my friends sharing a word with you each and every Monday, and today is no exception. I have an amazing and humble, sweet, and wonderful sister and friend joining me today, and she is going to share a word with you on this holiday. She is such a blessing, and I'm just so glad that she agreed to come on and join me. Corrine Porter, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me. I am good. I can't complain. I'm excited to be here and excited to share what God has put on my heart.
Fantastic. So once again, thank you for coming on this platform to basically encourage someone today. So before, you were going to say something?
Oh, no, just agreeing. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry. So before we get into your exhortation, could you just briefly share your experience on coming to know the Lord?
Well, I have experienced going to church as a young person, but I was never raised in a Christian home. But I was often sent to church on Sundays. And eventually when I got older and I could make that decision for myself, I didn't go anymore. Mm-hmm. But I had a friend who I met during my high school years, and she was a Christian, and she actually attends the same church we do now. And she would always come to my house, and she's always talking to me about heaven. And I would think to myself, like, oh my goodness, like, why does this girl always talk about God, God, God? And it's like, I don't want to hear it. I really wasn't at the place where I wanted to hear it. And fast forward, she invited my sister to church, Refuge City, one Sunday. And the next thing you know, my sister came back to me and said, Reen, you have to come and you have to hear this word. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. And I came. And we didn't leave. We got baptized the New Year's Eve of that, not New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve of that same year. And we've never looked back since. It's just been an amazing journey with God. And honestly, I was 23 years old when I got saved. And I'm telling you, it's the best years I've spent of my life with God. And I'm just so grateful and humbled that He opened up my eyes to see the truth.
Amen. Amen. That is fantastic. And so thank you once again for just sharing that. And at this time, I'm going to hand over to you, and the mic is all yours.
All righty. Well, definitely, as we're talking about Thanksgiving, I think we as Christians have such a gratitude towards having the Word of God in our lives, because we can attest that it's transformed us in various ways and continues to transform us. And so my topic is really just towards the gratefulness of God's word and talking about walking in the truth of God, because I think especially in these times, it's so vital to know the truth of God, mm-hmm. and to live in the truth. And I believe what we believe will determine our actions as believers. And
Amen.
there's a lot of times I say I believe and my actions prove otherwise. I've said things and then my actions show me the opposite of what I've said, right? And so as I was praying and asking God, you know, Lord, how do I reveal what you've been showing me in my walk in this season? And he brought me to a particular disciple, Peter. And I was like, how am I going to use Peter to kind of express what God is laying on my heart? And, you know, God just began to reveal and show me some things. And so this is exactly what I'm going to share, what God has laid on my heart, and just walk through some of the situations Peter faced with Jesus, and how that speaks volumes of what we believe as Christians. And when we come to accept the truth, what a difference that makes in our lives. Right.
Amen.
And
yeah.
So, I believe Peter was a very a passionate disciple. We've seen him get emotional at times and very driven, I believe, concerning his love for God. Mm-hmm. But sometimes his passion and emotions led him to say things or do things that were not lining up with what God has professed and has shared with him and what God was about, the things he's seen that God was about.
Amen.
So I look at the particular scripture, several scriptures that deals with Peter, but I was asking myself the question. And so I'll ask you, when Peter professed that he would follow Jesus even to his death, do you believe that Peter was just saying that just because he wanted Jesus to just, you know, like what he's saying? Or do you really believe that Peter felt like he would follow Jesus to his death?
That's a very good question. I feel as though he was really committed and dedicated. I believe he would have done it. I know obviously sometimes emotions and bad judgment kind of gets in the way of that, and maybe being faced with opposition, maybe down the road he probably would have possibly backed out. Mm-hmm. But just based on the Peter that I've seen, like, he's the same one who cut off the man's ear, right?
Right, right. Exactly.
And so, right, I'm saying he's so passionate. So mm-hmm. I mean I believe he would.
Right.
But he did deny Christ, did he not?
Yes. And we're going there. We're going there.
Okay.
But you are absolutely right. I believe Peter believed that he would do it. And I don't think he was saying it out of this idea of just wanting to say something to feel good at the moment or to make Jesus feel good. Mm-hmm. He really believed that he would follow Jesus to his death, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But when his actions proved otherwise, based on the scripture I'm about to read, what he declared was not truthful, but rather just driven by emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And driven by intense zeal, but zeal and passion can't override the truth of God, right? And if God speaks something, it's just the truth. And no matter how we feel, it doesn't change the truth of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the scripture that I'm going to read is Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. It reads, and I'm reading from the NLT version, "On the way, Jesus told them, 'Tonight, all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there.' Peter declared, 'Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you.' Jesus replied, 'I tell you, the scripture says, if you strike the sheep, right, the mm-hmm. flock will scatter.'" That is what Jesus said. He wasn't making that up. That is what scripture said. And Jesus was quoting that, right?
Right.
"And after I've been raised from the dead," he was telling them, "I'm going to go to Galilee ahead of you." And he says, "This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times," because Peter was there confessing that he would not leave Jesus. He would not leave Jesus. And he said, even if the other disciples do, I will not. And Jesus said, "Well, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows twice." And Peter was insistent even after that "I will never deny you." And the other disciples also agreed with that same statement, right?
Right.
So here Jesus is saying the shepherd is going to be struck and the sheep is going to scatter. That is the word. It is written. And he says, "And then I'm going to go ahead of you after I've been risen, and I'm going to meet you there." That is the God is, Jesus is the word of God, and he is telling Peter, this is what is going to happen. And Jesus saying, no, Lord, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to follow you. Even if these disciples don't, I will follow you. So we hear Peter's truth, and he believes that's his truth. That's what he's going to do. But he's overriding the ultimate truth, which is Jesus, the all-knowing God, knows what is going to happen before it even happens. Amen. He sees. And so here Peter is in his finite thinking and in his emotion and his zeal and his passion, but they can't override what Jesus has said, and he can't see that, right? He's still wanting to believe what he wants to believe, right? And so we're going to move into Matthew 16, and we're going to look at Peter here again. And it says in Matthew 16, 21 to 23, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Here is the word again, telling the disciples, Jesus, the bread of life, the living word, telling Peter, listen, this is what's going to happen. He took the living word aside and reprimanded him. And in other versions, it says rebuked him for saying such things. We sometimes do that. I know I do that. I know the truth. I hear the truth. God has dropped something in my heart and I don't want to hear it. We rebuke that thought or whatever the situation is, because we'd rather believe what we are driven to believe rather than hear the truth and let it pan out.
Right.
So here he is, he took the word aside and he's reprimanding him and saying, no, God forbid, this won't happen. He says, heaven forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you. You know, how many times have we made, I will never statements, this will never. So Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to follow me, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Right?
Right.
Jesus was laying down the reality that it's not everybody's way. It's my way. This is the truth. This is what's going to happen. My life will be taken. And it's not even that his life is going to, he's going to lay down his life. And on the third day, he was going to raise up again. But Peter didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted to believe that Jesus was going to be there. He was going to stay there. He was not going to die. But Jesus had been telling them these things. These are his disciples. He's been sharing these things. But here we are again, blocking the truth of God and wanting to see our own things come to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. And so Peter is just in his zeal and in his passion to understand what he wants to understand. He's just not taking in the truth of God. But he says, you are a stumbling block to me because you do not have in mind the things of God. Mm-hmm. Whenever we do not have the things of God at the forefront, whenever we're not allowing the word of God to be at our forefront, then we are allowing other things to becoming, allowing other things to become a stumbling block to us.
Right.
So the word of God allows us to walk freely. It allows us to understand what the will of God is and allows us to be who God has called us to be. And there is no lie in God's word. So when we are walking in God's word and walking in his will, we are sure not to stumble, because there's a scripture that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In another version, it says that word offend is actually used as stumble. When we understand the word of God and when we love the word of God and apply it to our lives, no matter what comes our way, we can't be tricked up. No lie can deceive us, because we're so immersed in the word of God. We have such great peace in knowing the will of God that no matter what comes, we hold on to that truth and nothing shall become a stumbling block. Peter could not have been a stumbling block because Jesus knew his purpose.
Right.
At the end of the day, Peter could have said anything to Jesus, and it was his will and it was his purpose to die on the cross for our sins. And he says, this has, you are thinking in a man's point of view, but I'm thinking God's purpose. I'm driven by God's purpose. And therefore your words, your hindrances, your words are becoming stumbling blocks to me. And so Jesus had to rebuke that, right? Because you are getting in the way of the word and truth. And Amen. It is what it is. It has to be so because Jesus spoke it. He's telling them what is going to happen. The word of life is telling them what is going to happen, right? And so there's a peace in trusting God's word with our whole heart and mind. And outside of God's truth is confusion, uncertainty, doubt, fear, and everything alike, right? Romans 12:2 tells us that we are to be that we are not to copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Amen. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, right? The part that stuck out to me in this verse is when he says, but let God transform you,
yes.
Right? We can't come to God with our thoughts because it's the very thought that we have coming to God that he has to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And we are sanctified by his truth. His word is truth. So when God is giving us his word and saying, take this, it's not for us to reject it. It's for us to take it because it's the word that's going to transform us and not we ourselves. So he says, but let God transform you into a new person. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I read that, it's liberating because I thank God that I am not the one doing it because I know I fail and I would feel miserable trying to transform my life because mm-hmm. I've tried and I see where I end up. At the feet of Jesus, asking him to help me not to always want to go my way and do things my way. So God begins to give us truth when we come to his word. He begins to remove faulty thoughts and faulty thinking, right? And that's what we want. We want God to get rid of our faulty thinking so we can think in the manner in which is going to transform lives and therefore transform other people's life that we come in contact with, right? I have to ask then, you know, as the main scripture that I'm using here tonight is John 15, verse 5-6, and I'll read it. It says, yes, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned, right? And I have to ask myself this and, you know, just really asking myself, do we actually believe what Jesus said? Do we actually believe that we can do nothing, nothing without him? And nothing is defined as not anything, no single thing apart from him. And until we understand that when we're reading the Bible and he speaks things like that, it's not for us to just, you know, we profess, oh, you know, I can't do anything without God. It's only by the grace of God I'm here. But what does our action say? Do we actually believe that we can do nothing without God? Because if we believe it, then our actions are going to prove that we're completely dependent on God in every single thing we do, every single day of our lives, no matter how small the task. Because he's saying, if you are not abiding in the vine, then you can do nothing and you're good for nothing, but to be thrown and burned in a pile. That's it. So I need to be embedded in Christ in order to be purposeful, in order to see a change, to see transformation. It's absolutely vital. And there's no two ways around it. Okay.
Amen.
It's God's way or it's no way. And we must believe that if he says I can do nothing, then guess what, Kareen, I can do nothing. And therefore I need to depend on him with everything that I am.
Amen.
Right. It releases me of believing that I am self-sufficient because I'm not. I'm completely dependent on God and I can do nothing of my own self. I rest and completely rely on God's truth to transform me, and I rest and completely rely on God's truth to transform many others that surround me and you and our leaders and my children. I rest in that because he is the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can help me to us to be mothers, wives, help men be fathers and brothers and husbands and servants and leaders. He's the only one that can help us fully operate in those roles in a way that glorifies him, right? So we name it, God, it needs to be involved. And I can't depend on myself in any of those areas because I've seen myself fail without God leading me day by day with my children. In my marriage, I need God. I need him to redirect me. I need him to speak life into some dead situations. And I completely trust him for it because I cannot do it. Right. So then I was also thinking sometimes we might say, you know, it's human nature to we might skip out on prayer or skip out on fasting. And I'm saying, if we truly believe that we can do nothing without God, then these things are going to become a vital part of our life and very necessary, right?
Exactly.
But we skip prayers every now and then. We go months without fasting. We spend more time on social media than in the Word. Here's my actions speaking volumes of what I'm saying I'm believing. And it's an issue because these things paralyze us. It doesn't edify us, and it just doesn't allow us to produce the way God wants us to. We might say, oh, it's just human nature, or it's just the flesh, you know, we don't have time. But then I have to ask myself these things, because I'm saying, if I have a job and I know what that job requires, I will not show up late to that job, because there's a system. And in their organization, they say, if you show up late, it's a situation where I'm paying you and you're not here to do your job, right? We don't purposely show up to work late. We make it a habit to be on time. Every now and then we might be late, but it's not a habit, or we know we'll be fired. There's a consequence for that.
Exactly.
And so whether I feel like going to work, whether I want to take a vacation, it doesn't matter. I need to go to work. I have to be there. Human desire or not, whether I want more time or not, I have to be at work. So I'm going to get up. I'm going to do what I have to do. Us having children, and we, you know, in the school system, the school has your child for a couple hours, several hours a day. And then at the end of the day, that teacher, that school expects you to come and pick up your child. But you're not going to say, well, I'm not going to go pick up my child from that school because, you know what, I'm tired. They'll figure it out. Someone will come and get them, hopefully. No, we know that someone will be knocking at your door, not very happy with your child, maybe, or you would be in a deeper situation where your child's taken from you because you're negligent, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we are busy at home, when we realize it's time to go pick up our kids, we're dropping everything and we're going, because we know, okay, this is a situation. My kid needs to be picked up, or there will be no one there with him at school, right? So we go and we do what we need to do. So then I believe people respect the teachers that they send their kids to. I believe that we understand how structures work. And so I believe that we understand that what we value, we put in priority, right? And so I love my children, so I'm going to do the right thing by them, and I'm going to go pick them up. I know I need a job to take care of my family, so I'm going to go to work on time and do what people are paying me to do, right? And so it's the same thing. If God says that we need prayer, if God says that we need the Word, mm-hmm. and we need to fast, mm-hmm. why is it then we make excuses around that, about being tired or not having time or busy doing things that are sometimes overwhelming us and causing us to be anxious, yeah. and causing us to pull away even further from God? But here we are saying that we don't have time, or, you know, we fast for a while and we feel that strength, and then we go again and we forget about God and we fall again. And we're like, oh my gosh, this cycle. But if we truly believe and depend on what Jesus' words tells us, we will find ourselves at his feet. We will find ourselves at his feet so often that we are speaking his word daily. We are living in his word daily. We're living in his truth daily. We are transformed daily because we realize we cannot do anything without him.
Amen.
So whatever we value, we're going to put ahead of things that are of no value, right? And those two examples are prime. Like, not every time I want to get out of my bed mm-hmm. in the mornings to attend to my children, but guess what? No one else is going to do it. And God has given me that responsibility to do it, right? I'm telling you, there are days when I'm like, I have to run into my room and lock the door and just say, God, I need you now. I need you now. Because if you don't give me a word now, if you don't encourage me now, if I don't feel a peace right now, I feel like I'm going to lose it. I feel like my mind is going to go, because life happens, and life happens to everybody. But what am I going to do with that? Am I going to keep going and ignore the nudges of God? Or am I going to remember that he says, Corinne, you can't do it. You can't do it. So don't get up, start your day already going, overwhelmed with the things that are coming at you and then thinking, okay, I got this. I just need more time to do that. No, I need to rest in God and say, Lord, I give you my day. I give you every situation that you see before me, before I even get there. And I'm asking you to maneuver me like a pawn in a game. Just help me to remember this word or be encouraged when I'm dealing with this type of situation. And when I feel overwhelmed, remember that you are God who is a present help in the time of trouble. Like, this is the communication we need to be having with God on a daily basis, because we can do nothing of ourselves. And that is simply put, we cannot do anything of ourselves. Much of a response to that scripture, though, is we can do things on our own, because our actions say we feel like we can, because of our lack of commitment to doing the things, the very things he says will transform us, the very things that will help us and align us with his will. So whose truth are we believing? Are we believing our own, or are we believing the enemy's over what God is saying, right? Mm-hmm. So again, our beliefs will automatically prioritize what we value. We have to look and ask God, what words can we draw from as a weary mother or a father or a husband or a wife or a single mom, single dad, a leader? You know, what encouragement can we constantly ask God to give us? What word can he use to carry us, because we need it? Yeah. Children are struggling in life. They're not, you know, they're not, the devil is not concerned with the welfare of children. So he's attacking them too. So even being an encouragement toward children, but if we have nothing in us, we can give them nothing. And if we need God to be our source and we have no God in us, what are we giving our children? We're not really helping them, right? And so we really need to be in tuned so that we can also we can transform and therefore transform other people's lives. So it's very vital that we're believing on God's word, so that we can maneuver and go through the things that God says will happen in this world. He said you will have much trouble, right? But he leaves his peace he gives to us. But we can't have his peace if we're not allowing his peace in and we're just doing things on our own. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Here's another word, and we quote this scripture, but trusting in the Lord with all your heart, there's an action to that, yes. Right? And he says, don't depend on your own understanding. Don't do it, because it's not going to turn out well. Mm-hmm. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Oh my goodness, like these words need to govern us. These words need to then manifest itself in, what are we doing in our day that shows that I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart? What am I doing in my day that shows that I do not depend on my own understanding? What am I doing to show that I'm seeking his will in all that I do? These things manifest itself in some way. And if they're not showing, then I'm often questioning myself. And we should ask the question, then what am I believing in? If this is not what we're doing, what are we trusting in? What are we believing in? Exactly. Because it's not what Jesus is saying if we are not finding ourselves really allowing God to do what he needs to do in our lives. When we believe Jesus' words, our actions change. And, you know, as we talk about Peter and the things that he was saying, you know, Jesus, I would never do this, but Jesus said, the scripture says, the shepherd will be scattered. This is not a made-up situation. This is the word that he's speaking here, and we are denying it, and we're always trying to push against it and fight against it. And Peter had a wake-up call. The rooster crow, right? And it did it twice. And at the end of the day, he had his wake-up call to say, my goodness, my words are empty. My words and my opinions are not overriding that of Jesus. And Jesus's words were manifested here today. And the truth came out, and this is what it is. I denied him, just like he said I would, all because I didn't want to accept what he was already telling me, right? Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. So if God says you're going to deny me, I'm just going to humble myself and just say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm getting my repentance ready, because I don't want to deny Jesus. Yeah. But this is a situation where he faced, and he had to realize, wow, Jesus was was speaking the truth. And here it is hitting me right in the face. When we get the wake up call of what God has been showing us, we need to humble ourselves and accept that. And I believe that happened for Peter. Because if we go in the book of John and we look in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, it speaks of Jesus, right? Jesus told Simon Peter and the disciples, I will, after all these things have happened to me, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. John chapter 21 said after Jesus, that Jesus did go ahead of them in Galilee and they were fishing. And John noticed that it was Jesus and said, Peter, it's Jesus. And Jesus, Peter took off and went to the shore, and they were sitting there with Jesus. And it says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He says, yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said a third time, he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, Jesus. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I look at the way Peter has changed his language. He's not saying just, Jesus, you know I love you. Sorry, he's not just saying I love you. He's saying, Jesus, you know I love you. And then it breaks his heart, and he goes even further, and he says, you know everything. So you know I love you, that you don't even have to ask him that question. He realized then that it wasn't so much about him saying to Jesus, I love you, Jesus. But what was a more of a bigger emphasis is that, Jesus, you know all things. You know I love you. And that speaks more volume than me saying I love you, because you know, the all-knowing God. And here is the accepting, finally, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Outside of him, there is no life. Outside of him, he can do nothing. His words are empty and in vain. But with God's words, he is speaking life and power. And therefore, God, the all-knowing God, you know I love you. I've experienced enough of myself to know that my words are not overriding yours. I've experienced enough that when you speak, things happen, and you know that I love you. And so my encouragement to those who are listening is simply, I pray that we will also be able to declare and say, God, you know all things. And so when I read your word, because you know all things, because you've experienced this life, you will be able to take me through these life experiences that I'm going to have, and you're going to transform me, and that we will begin to allow the truth to transform us, because it's so necessary, and that grace and peace will continually be with us as we continue to allow what we believe to transform us, because that's the only thing that is going to transform us. It's the word of God believed and then manifested in our lives, that we can not only be transformed but transform others. And that is what the Lord has shared with me, and that is what I've shared here tonight, and I hope whoever was listening was blessed by it. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Corinne, honestly, so much for sharing on this Thanksgiving Day. Such a solid word, and I hope that we grab a hold of God's word for our lives and really allow it to transform us from the inside out.
Amen.
Amen. Can you just do us the honor and close this episode out in prayer, please?
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of knowing who you are. God, you have proven to us time and time again that your words never fail. You have proven to us, Lord God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are life. God, help us not to find joy and peace in anything, Lord God, because truly it will not be joy and peace in its end. God, you are the only one that is able to keep us in this time of hardship. You are the only one that is able to keep us in times of feeling overwhelmed and hopeless. God, we're asking you, Lord God, to help us to transform our minds with your words, oh God, and not to allow ourselves, oh God, to be deceived by lies and our own desires, oh God, that it gets in the way of your truth. Father, help us to take our time to pray to you. Help us to take the time, Lord God, to read your word and to allow your will to be done. Father, we love you and we thank you for this platform, and we thank you for what you have been doing and how you've been encouraging us through this podcast. I pray that you continue to bless Andrea, Lord God, and continue to inspire her to speak the word into the nation, oh God. Lord, just let your will be done always, and let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I pray that this exhortation has inspired you to act on God's word, challenged you to believe what his word says, and encouraged you to put your confidence in him. With that being said, have a wonderful week, everyone. Much love and many blessings. Bye. Hey, friend, thank you for listening to today's exhortation. I believe you were inspired, challenged, and encouraged today. Because of that, don't keep it to yourself. Share this podcast with a friend, a family member, even a coworker. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day. I really feel so special. Let's do this again. See you next Monday.